ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba.
All right, it's time, everybody, for the bonus hour, or as some people call it, the stream of consciousness, or as some people call it, McHale's Navy. I don't know why people call it that, Mike.
That's what I call it.
You call this hour
always,
the...
I have always called it, even before you were doing it.
You referred to
when
it...
When Cliff Mercer was doing it.
He used to host this, the bonus hour with Cliff Mercer. And you know who his co-host was back then? Ione from the prize movie with Ione.
Oh.
Do you remember her?
No.
There was a show on when we were kids, when you and I were kids, called the prize movie with Ione, where... she would ask a trivia question during the movie, and you could call in and win a nice prize.
Is it a trivia question about the movie?
Sometimes.
What channel was that on?
Every channel.
Really?
It was on every channel.
Huh.
Yeah. It was so.
Every time you turned the channel, it was on.
Yeah, it was so popular that other channels said, we can't compete with this. No. We'll also run it.
We want you to watch this.
Yeah. Everybody. It's the only time in history that I know of that every channel got together and said, let's just run one show.
Ione.
Yeah. It was at the same time as a show called Lilius, Yoga, and You.
We're making this up.
No. You don't remember that show?
No.
Did you do what I used to do when the TV preview would come on Sunday? You'd look through for good shows to see, and you'd go, this is on every day. I'm not going to watch that. This is on every day. I'm not going to watch that. Those were two of the shows that I just went,
right.
I'm not going to watch Lilius, Yoga, and You.
What if it was between that and Mass for Shut-Ins?
Then I'd watch Lilius, Yoga, and You.
I would watch Mass for Shut-Ins.
Who was your favorite guy in that show?
So many. They would alternate the characters.
They were all good. They were all good.
Yeah. One time they changed the main guy, like, recast the role.
They did?
Yeah, and they didn't say anything.
Oh, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Why would they do this? You and I, during the regular show, not this part of the show, the stream of consciousness / McHale's Navy, but the regular part of the show, we're talking about words that are generational. That if you say now, your kids will just stare at you and go, what are you talking about?
Right.
Like, for instance, the phrase, I'm sure you've, this isn't on here, this is just one off the top of my head. If you said to your kids, that guy goes on and on like a broken record.
Right, right.
Like
you sound
a what?
Like, you sound like a broken record.
Right. A what?
But you know what? Some of that stuff you say because your parents said.
Yeah.
You know, and then it doesn't even fit. It. Like, somebody might say that now, we know what they meant, but.
You know what I say now instead of it?
What?
I say this guy goes on and on like a corrupt MP3 file.
Right.
That's my phrase.
I know people like that.
Here's one. Sunday shoes.
Put on your Sunday shoes.
I want you wearing your Sunday shoes.
I think that's before us.
Oh, it's way before us.
Yeah, yeah.
But it still existed. Like, I remember my mom saying, your Sunday best. She would say, put on your Sunday best.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you knew what that meant.
Right.
We're going to a funeral.
Put on your Sunday best. We're going to a funeral.
Yeah. Somebody died and we're going. Here's one that one of my neighbors used to say from time to time. Wishy-washy.
Yeah, I know that one.
Kind of wishy-washy.
Yeah, he gets wishy-washy.
Right. What does that mean?
It means you go, you're flip-flop. You know, you don't can't make up your mind.
But no, I know that part
of
it.
You say and then I kind
of
go
but
that
But why
way.
Is it thrown into the world of wishy and washy? What is it about that that lends itself to wishy-washy? I can't figure that out. It almost sounds, I want to say this, but I want to say this politically correct. Because even though it's the stream of consciousness, we deserve to be politically correct.
Everybody deserves that from us, Bill.
I think you're right. One time in a grocery store, I was with somebody close to me, and they said the phrase chop chop. They go, put that, you know, meaning quickly.
Yeah, hurry up.
Put it up, chop chop, like that. And I said to that person, you can't say that anymore, because I believe that to be... racist in some way.
Offensive.
Isn't it? Isn't chop chop? Isn't that what they used to say to the Chinese immigrants that were building the railroad because they thought that that sounded Chinese enough to where they would understand it?
That they had to hurry up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the. I've always come to believe that that's the background for chop chop.
Well, then you quit saying it.
I am going to quit saying it. I didn't know that peanut gallery was offensive, but it is.
It is?
Yeah.
Because that was like Howdy Doody's audience.
Howdy Doody's audience was referred to as the peanut gallery.
And the kids were peanuts.
Yes.
Right.
But it emanated from what they used to refer to as the people that would pick peanuts were called the peanut gallery in a very derogatory way.
Okay.
But then Howdy Doody made it a fun version, but there were still people who go, yeah, I know you're making it a fun version, but the old version is not so much fun.
So people had issue with
took
issue with Howdy Doody.
Yeah, Howdy Doody's behind
hey,
this.
I'm not saying anything weird. I'm a puppet. I just say what they make me say.
He blamed it on Clarabelle.
It's so easy for a puppet to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not really saying it. He said it.
I wonder if there's ever been an act that's done that. Isn't that pretty much everyone who's ever had a puppet?
The dummy said it.
Yeah.
I'm saying all the, I'm trying to keep this dummy in line, and he's saying all this politically incorrect stuff. And he's hitting on all the ladies in the front row. And
every ventriloquist I've ever seen, that's the act.
Yep.
Now, JoJo, you know you can't say that.
Right.
What? I never.
Right. Right. Now, this one hurts me because I still use one, but I've been told that they're archaic. Checkbook. Like, do your kids have checkbooks?
No.
My daughters don't have a checkbook, but I still, from time to time, I'll write a check, and everybody goes, oh, what?
Right.
Where's your time machine?
Right, but isn't it weird if you see somebody do it, like you're at the grocery store, and the guy in front of you writes one?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. But I'm a lot of times, like, I'm that
you're
guy.
You're that guy.
I'm the guy. Because I think that's a good way to transfer funds.
It's offensive.
Right.
You're doing.
It is offensive.
I'm offended when you write out a check and you're in front
is
of me.
Is it because of the time element?
Yes.
Because I always have all the basics on the check. I've already signed it. I've already put that it's to Jewel or to Mariano's.
I have stamps for wherever I am.
Yeah.
Place? Where's my Jewel stamp? Where's my...
now, that's what takes time.
Yeah, a case of stamps. But once I find it, boom. I don't have to write it out.
So I've now become... Like a generation ago, somebody who clipped coupons, they would be in front of you and they'd go, wait, I'm buying some of this, but I have a 4 cent off coupon. Please give me a moment. And you go, oh, come on. Yeah. So I've now become that.
And it's expired. And they think they can slide it through. They're not going to notice that it's from, you know,
from
June 1936. You're buying mustache wax. That's not even for the product you're buying. What are you doing?
Right. This one shouldn't be on here. Soda pop. I mean, I guess it sounds old, but
well, it's kind of a.
It sounds
it's
fun.
Kind of combining what different people call it.
In the Midwest, we refer to carbonated beverages as pop,
always.
But in other parts of the country, they say soda.
Right.
So I sometimes say soda pop just to include everybody.
Right. Yeah. Some people will hear you say pop. They'll be what?
Pop.
Yeah.
Right.
We were talking about that this morning on the show. Different areas as far as like what you have on your feet right now. What
are
you,
shoes?
What kind?
PF Flyers.
In more general terms.
What, tennis shoes.
Okay, that was it. It was like, do you say...
Or gym shoes.
Tennis shoes, gym shoes, and
sneakers is the other one.
And it's very regional.
Right.
They said in Chicago and Cincinnati, it's very common to say gym shoes, but rarely anywhere else do they say gym shoes.
Oh, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, Cincinnati and Chicago is weird.
Why? Why would that be?
I don't know.
This is along the same lines, but slightly different. I was thinking about how when I was a kid, whenever my dad would talk about the money that he earned at work, he would say salary. And I always assumed that he meant celery.
Sure.
And it bothered me that my dad was working a hard week.
He was getting paid in produce.
He was getting paid in produce.
Like the rabbits on the cartoon. I made a lot of celery today. How are the 19 babies doing? That's my rabbit voice.
That's a great rabbit voice. I had to look over to see if that was you or a real rabbit. That was outstanding. But I wanted to say as a kid, Dad, sit down. I'm three, but I know that if you're putting in the hours you're putting in, you should be being paid in cash and not celery.
Don't
sell
yourself short.
Right. You need to reexamine.
Where was he working at the time?
At a celery market.
He was.
At Rob's Celery Market.
He was working at the farmer's market. He was working for Farmer McGregor.
Right. Old man McGregor. He was paying him in celery.
No.
That's a bad move. Because you can't barter it.
Right.
There's no way to barter it.
Do you still have the BB gun?
Yeah. Okay. Still use the BB gun. Rolodex. I'll just put that in my Rolodex.
Yeah, that's gone.
That's a thing of the past. It's, no one has a Rolodex.
There's no need for it anymore because it doesn't exist.
Right.
There's no Rolodex.
Although I still, as a joke, when I meet somebody new, I don't know.
You put your number in your Rolodex?
No, I ask if I can have their pager number.
Okay.
And it's so funny the reaction I get from people. They go, wait, what?
Right.
Your pager number, if I need you for something, is there a number I can page you at?
Right. The joke's on them.
Yeah, the joke's on them.
The joke's on you.
Hey, I grew up with a dad who made celery. That's
right.
how we got by.
How the heck did you guys...
It wasn't easy, Mike.
Yeah.
This one hurts. The dictionary. A kid today would never even think to look something up in a dictionary.
Right.
It's on their phone.
Yeah, and that was a source of fun when you were a kid.
The dictionary was
remember
a good time.
We would look in the dictionary to see
swear
if
words.
Swear words were in there.
Right. Right.
Can we say them? We can.
You can.
Okay.
Just be careful. There was a couple of kids in our school that got famous because the story was, hey, you know what Joe Fosco looked up? And then we would say the word and go, oh, my God, Joe Fosco's a genius.
It was in there.
Yeah, it was in there. Yeah. That's how you got famous.
Did you ever look up dictionary in the dictionary?
No, is that
the
in
word
there?
Dictionary.
It's in the dictionary.
It says this.
You could sell that to Stephen Wright right now.
He would like
he
that.
Would buy that.
He would like
you'd make a you'd make a killing.
There's another guy whose act you can read and it's hilarious.
Stephen Wright's yes. is. Yes. I agree with you. Here's a word that's hardly ever or a phrase that's hardly ever used anymore, Mike. Although I think you might still say this one. Instead of having sex, you're making whoopee.
Oh, sure.
And you know who the biggest of all time?
Well, Gene Rayburn, of course. But before
not
that, you're
Gene
talking
Rayburn.
About the song, right?
You're, well, the song Making is, Whoopee, yeah.
Was that Georgie, you know.
Georgie Jessel?
Was it Georgie?
I think it might have been Georgie Jessel who sang that.
Yeah, those guys but that always not... sounded like they were holding their nose when they sang.
Right.
It was good.
For making whoopee.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't George Jessel.
but it was you got the game show host wrong on who used to say it wasn't Gene Rayburn.
Oh, no, it was Bob Eubanks.
Bob Eubanks used to say making
yeah.
whoopee.
Where's
yeah.
the strangest place you and your wife ever made whoopee?
And remember, just by virtue of saying it, keep in mind it's 1967,
yeah.
the crowd would go nuts
yep.
at the implication.
Right.
Right. So now, fast forward to today, if you watch Match Game hosted by Alec Baldwin...
Mm-hmm.
The questions aren't even cleverly disguised.
Right.
They're all just blatant.
Yeah.
Right. And the crowd doesn't even... Well, I guess they still do react, but not in the old ways when it was said on a game show, people would... They would titter.
But Gene Rayburn was so ahead of his time. He'd be great on game shows now because
yeah.
he was so creepy and
perverted. Yeah.
And
wasn't he?
Just the way that he said blank. Like, you knew when he was saying blank, he meant a really dirty word.
Yes.
Right.
Because he would tip it off. He would look at the camera, and he'd say, in her blank.
Right.
And then it was up to us to be dirty. Right. It was our imagination that was selling it out, not his.
The voice of Bugs Bunny was Mel Blank. You know what I loved about that? When Richard Dawson was always the go-to guy
yeah.
on Match Game, and he would always pretend like he got it wrong. Like he would like tease you, like he
yeah.
matched him, and he wrote it like one time it was like blank Martin. The guy writes down his answer and they call, and the guy says Dean Martin,
mm-hmm.
and then Richard Dawson goes, you know, a couple of years I worked on a television show called Laughing. Co-host was a fellow by the name of Dick Martin.
Yeah,
but I said Dean.
Because that showed what a great actor
yeah, after
Richard
a while,
Dawson
you're
was.
Like, I know you're doing yeah, this you're to me. Here. And then what if he really was wrong? And then he set up the. And then he was like, "Wait, you really did say the wrong thing?"
Right.
No.
All right. So
all roads lead to him. By the way, I think I talked about him last time I was with you.
Everything does eventually lead to Richard Dawson.
Yeah, sorry,
no, you're right.
Sorry about that.
No. Why apologize for that? All right, so with him, we know he did some other things. We saw him on Hogan's Heroes and other shows every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But what did, like, Gene Rayburn, did he ever do anything else other than host Match Game?
I think he was an actor before.
Was he really?
I believe so, because there was a discussion on an old one. There's so many new things on. Why am I watching Match Game 74 on
yeah.
the game show? But he said he was Charles Nelson Reilly's understudy in a musical.
Gene Rayburn was?
Yes.
I don't have a lot of money, Mike, but whatever money I have would go to see that, yeah. to go back in time and
on
watch.
On a day that Charles is sick, to see right. Gene Rayburn trying to pull off the Nelson Reilly
man. You can't do that. No. It's impossible.
No, he's a CNR.
I saw Wink Martindale in Hamlet.
What?
He was outstanding.
He's great, wasn't he?
Was so good.
Wow.
He was so good. And I saw Jack Nars in Two Gentlemen from Verona, and he was not good.
Really? Yeah. Who was Wink Martindale's understudy?
Tom Kennedy.
Bob Eubanks.
More words that are generational. These are words that you might have heard a while ago, but a kid today would never, probably wouldn't even know what they meant. Nincompoop.
Yeah.
So the image we all got in our heads of a guy who would be a nincompoop.
He's a dummy.
Yeah,
he's just
a ne'er-do-well, a loser.
Complete incompetent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever hearing that word other than TV shows or movies.
Right.
That was just a word that lent itself to the movies.
There were some things that you only heard on TV, too. Like, did you ever say Gesundheit when somebody sneezes?
I didn't, but my dad used to.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I would hear it on TV all the time, but I never heard anybody say it to me.
My dad would say it, which was strange, because I think it was the only word in German. I never heard my dad say anything else in German. We're not German.
He was clever. He was hiding it from you. He didn't want you to know that he was German.
Oddly enough, though, Mike, whenever a German person would sneeze, my dad would say, bless you.
Bless you. It's weird. Your dad used to get in people's heads.
Right. We sometimes would go to Little Germany during cold and flu season, just so my dad could mess with the German people who would sneeze.
Everyone who had colds.
Isn't it weird? Like, I'm not superstitious at all. Mm-hmm. But if you were to sneeze right now, I would feel it my need to say bless you, even though I don't have the powers to bless you or to take a cold or flu out of you.
Right. And at the same time, if you sneezed and I didn't, you'd be like,
what's wrong with Mike? We're friends. Yeah, I sneezed.
Why didn't he say it?
He hopes that I die or something.
Yeah. You might go home and tell your wife. You know,
I sneezed. Mike didn't say a word. Anything.
That's weird.
But what is it about the act of, like, if somebody coughs, there's no acknowledgement for that you could, you could have a cough that's so serious that it could take your life. But
did you ever cough and have somebody say, God bless you, and you want to say, no, it wasn't a sneeze, I was coughing, and you just let it go?
No.
Thank you. It's not that similar, but they thought it was a sneeze.
I just love the idea that we mere mortals think that just by us blessing them or hoping that a blessing comes their way,
it's better.
It'll magically happen.
Or, if somebody has that repeated sneezing, how many times do you say it before you don't have to say it anymore?
One of my daughters, Reese, after the second one goes, I'm going to keep sneezing and you don't have to keep blessing me. She's adamant.
You have dispensation.
You have served your purpose.
I was on a bus or a train or something, and this woman sneezed and the guy said, bless you. She sneezed again, and the guy said, bless you. And she sneezed again, and he goes, bless you all day. It's like, I'm covered now.
I now offer you a blessing so strong that I don't even need to be involved anymore.
You're covered. If I see you tomorrow, I'll reload.
So it's a sundown. Like, as soon as the sun goes down, you must then re-bless.
Correct.
Right.
I believe that's true.
It's not a 24-hour bless.
No, it's a new day.
It's a new day.
Right. Today's Wednesday.
Right.
You're all good for Wednesday. But if you sneeze Thursday, I'm on.
I'm back on it.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Right.
I think there's something to that. All right. We'll take a quick break. Judy Pollack will join us and provide some news, and then more with us, Bill Leff and Mike Toomey on WGN. Jude, you know what's upsetting about the hike in airfares? It's United that said today that because gas prices are going up, they're going to pass that savings on to us, the consumer.
No, they're not passing the savings on to us.
Well, ironically, All right, so when the gas prices go up, the airlines tend to do this, but when the gas prices go down, you never see the prices go down from the airlines. That's not fair.
That age-old argument. And I thought that airlines had to... Like, they buy way ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they do.
One of those things. It's kind of like the electric company that has to buy.
They get a fixed price.
The gas company. Yeah.
Right.
And if they mess up, well, too bad.
Right.
If they don't, you know, the futures market, whatever.
Yeah. One day on the show, we were talking about how all the airlines, I think except for Southwest, now charge for baggage. And the reason they said was because of fuel costs. It costs more to fuel the plane. So we have to, again, pass that savings, not really, but whatever, on to you. But then gas prices a year or so ago were the lowest they'd been in 5 years, and no airline said, okay, we're going to pull that thing back about the bags. We're not going to charge you anymore.
Well, I can tell you that I do the market report numbers every day.
Yeah.
And so, like, a few weeks ago, oil was $74.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday it was $68. Where's that savings at the gas station?
Doesn't happen.
No. As a matter of fact, prices have creeped up a little bit.
Yeah. The other thing is, I talked to a guy, I can't remember what his job title was.
We could sit here and bitch all day.
Oh, it won't make any good. But you know how every year in the spring they go, you know, in a month you're going to have to start paying summer prices because we do the summer blend on the gasoline. Mm-hmm. So I asked the guy, I go, realistically, what does that cost more for the gas companies? He goes, realistically, it doesn't cost any more. The summer blend costs the exact same. We've just been programmed to believe that it costs more, and it doesn't.
Well, it seems like that would be illegal.
Shouldn't it be?
Right? Yes, it should be.
Why can't you do something? You're on TV.
I'll see what I can do.
See what you can do.
I'm going to look into this whole summer blend thing.
So, summer blend.
A little suspicious.
Yeah.
And then the fall when they do pumpkin spice gas.
Yeah, the pumpkin spice gas.
That costs the same.
That should cost more.
I want John to go get me.
Costs the same.
All right, I got to go, guys. Nice
All right,
seeing
Jude.
You.
Thanks very much. Mike Toomey is co-hosting with me today. Wendy on vacation until Monday. We're talking about words that are kind of generational. If you use any of these words, you're kind of dating yourself.
Where did Wendy go?
Your age? We don't know. No one knows.
Okay.
She was here 1 minute, gone the next. Very mysterious.
On vacation.
She's in Disneyland.
Okay.
Which should be interesting.
Disneyland?
Disneyland.
Land.
Yeah.
Okay.
The original in Anaheim, California.
I went to Disney World, like one of the first years it was open. You've been to Disney a bunch
many
of times.
Yeah,
a bunch of times.
Love it. It's the happiest place on earth.
It is. And all I have are experiences that I don't like. You know the King Louis from the Jungle Book?
Yeah.
He came out and everybody was excited. I was young.
Yeah.
And everybody went to see him. And in the costume, you know, you're like, picture yourself with your arms at your side.
Sure.
And then his arms are so long.
Yeah, gangly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't put his arms in there. Okay?
He doesn't?
So he's running around and the arms are flying in his hand hit me in the face.
What?
Yeah.
You were accosted by King Louis from Jungle Book?
He didn't do it on purpose. But I was excited, and then you get that embarrassed look when you look around and see, did anybody just see that? And then you just kind of slink away.
Like, now, if that happened today, a kid would sue King Louis.
Yeah.
He'd take him for everything he's got.
Yeah.
But he just wants to be like you, ooh.
He just wants to be like me. He wants some fire. That's all he wants is fire.
That's all he wants.
I still wouldn't give it
That's
to him.
That's very upsetting.
Yeah.
In the old days, if you visited a Disney theme park, the characters just kind of walked around on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, you know, hug them, kiss them, punch them, do whatever you wanted to. But now they all have...
Security?
Yeah. There's always somebody, an attendant next to them to make sure that you don't either hug them or kiss them or punch them.
Right.
Yeah. Which is better.
So you're like Goofy's... lackey.
Yeah, Goofy's lackey. That's the job title. You sign up to be Goofy's lackey.
Take him out, Sonny.
I think that's better. You know, I've told the story on the show before. I was a costumed character for a weekend. I was Captain Conduit at a convention.
Really?
And for
what is that?
3 days... There was some industry convention. It was a hardware convention at McCormick Place, and they saw me perform at the Improv, and they decided, based on what they saw, he would make a good Captain Conduit.
I've always thought that about you.
Well, thank you for saying that, Mike. That's very kind of you. So I was dressed like a superhero. It said CC on my shoulder, I had like an emblem on my chest for Captain Conduit, and he had lightning bolts and a hat, but I looked like a big foam rubber superhero. And for 3 days straight, everybody punched me.
Sure.
Children punched me. Grandparents punched me. Dogs punched me.
Doesn't seem like a fun thing for kids to be at in the first place.
A hardware convention? Yes. Kids love it.
Yeah.
They love it. When you were a kid, you didn't get excited by the words Black and Decker?
Were you the original Captain Conduit?
No.
No.
The third generation.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The original was Marlon Brando.
And then it was Dick Gaudier. And then it was you.
And it was me. Right. That's one of the many things I have in common with those two gentlemen.
Marlon Brando and Dick Gaudier.
Yes. Yes. It was the worst 3 days of my life, and I put a note in the costume saying, if you're wearing this costume, this will be the lowest thing that you ever do. Just get through it. All you need to do is get through it.
But that third day, putting it on, you had to be like, God. Oh, my God.
It was so awful. It was so awful. And the way it was situated, we were kind of in the center of McCormick Place. And when I was in the booth, they had somebody there that if things got out of hand, they would stop. Like, because a lot of people would come up and put me in a headlock or give me noogies and stuff. I don't know what Captain Conduit did to people, but it really made people angry, you know. But if I wanted to take a break, I had to walk all the way across to the break room.
Uh-huh.
And then I was by myself, so all bets were off. People could do whatever they wanted to me.
People should like you. Because technically you would think you bring people together. Because
of the name alone.
You connect people.
That's what Conduit is.
Right.
But they didn't see it that way.
Mm.
I was also told by the guy who hired me when the show was over that I was the worst Captain Conduit that they had ever had. And I said, I know you didn't mean it that way, but I look at that as a huge compliment.
Right.
And I was not asked back the next year.
Awful.
They got somebody else.
You were the worst. You were the worst Captain Conduit.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken... And if he's listening, he can correct me. But Lou Manfredini was a character at Great America.
Was he?
Yeah. And he would wear, I think he said he wore the Foghorn Leghorn suit and that he was in the parade every night, you know, when the characters, you know, marched to the big show.
I do have to say, he'd make a pretty good Foghorn Leghorn.
But what I recall him saying was that it's hard to launder those costumes.
Yeah.
So it's hot all summer, and different people are wearing them. And he said it was so gross to be inside that costume.
My wife told me she has done, over the years, Terry has done two commercials for theme parks. She did one for Disney World where she was there for 5 days. They did this thing where they, the family was on all the different rides.
Mm-hmm.
So it took 5 days to shoot. And then she also did one for Cedar Point that took 2 days. At the one for Disney World, she said she got to go underneath Disney World. There's a series of tunnels that they move people around in.
Really?
Did you know this?
No.
Yeah, it's built up. Like, the land that Disney World is really the second story. There's like a whole world going underneath where they mm-hmm. shuttle characters and people around. And she said, so she was allowed underneath there during breaks.
That'd be fascinating.
And it would be fascinating. Yeah. It would be like Westworld, But she said that a lot of the people that wear the character costumes, because it's so hot, mm-hmm. they throw up inside the costume because it's just so...
I thought you were going to say they die in there.
If that happens, she didn't see that.
Right.
Because you would notice.
Was that fun at all? Like to hear you say that, it'd be like, wow, I'm getting paid, like I'm doing a job and I'm hanging out at Disney World in Cedar Point. Was she able to go on the rides and like have fun, or was it completely...
She's not a fan of roller coasters. And the Cedar Point one was for they had a new roller coaster, so she rode the roller coaster nonstop for 2 days.
She didn't like it.
She hated it.
Oh, boy.
She said if you like roller coasters, it was a fun one,
mm-hmm.
but like after she rode it 2 or 3 times, she goes, how many times are we going to do this?
Yeah, I get it. We do this where we do the loop. And
right.
Yeah, I get it.
But they wanted the family's happy reaction from every different angle at every key point in the roller coaster. So for 2 days, because to me... That would be like, oh my God, that would be the best.
It would be the best for maybe one day.
Yeah, I guess by the second day.
Anything.
Right.
You keep,
Right. She also said, and I never thought about this, but this is interesting too. When she did the one at Disney World, the 5 day one where she was with her fake husband and her fake son and her fake daughter, mm-hmm. just enjoying everything that Disney World had to offer. What they would do for that one is, and I don't know if they do this for a lot of commercials, but Disney did this. Is they did a version with the white family, they did a version with a black family, and a version with a Hispanic family, all doing the exact same things. Mm-hmm. So she said it was just weird to kind of play a role, and then 10 minutes later, you see somebody else playing essentially the same exact thing, and then 20 minutes later, somebody else is playing the exact same thing.
But then you see the other family, and you go, oh, I should have done it like that.
Yes.
I should have made that face.
She did it better.
Yeah.
She was more genuinely happy to see Brer Rabbit than I was. Right. That's true.
And now another family after my mind. Maybe he would have ducked King Louis. Wayward plastic. It was so heavy plastic hand.
Right. You know what else she did once? And I don't think I've ever told you this. You know, she's been in several movies over the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the movies she was in, Only the Lonely, she plays the mother of Macaulay Culkin and his brother Kieran Culkin.
I remember.
Right. So it's her and Kevin Dunn plays her husband. And in the movie, there's a scene shot in their home, so they took family pictures of them, and she kept one of them.
Uh-huh.
So it's her and a guy who's not really her husband. I'm her husband.
With the McCulkins.
Yeah, with the Culkins.
That's cool.
Yeah. So when we were selling our apartment, the real estate agent said, do you have any recent family pictures? And she was kidding, and she goes, I have this one. And the real estate agent looked at it, and she goes, this is the most beautiful family portrait I've ever seen. This will sell your home in a minute. So on our mantelpiece, the whole time we were selling our apartment, was a picture of my wife with a family that's not really hers. And it almost hurt to see, on a daily basis, to go into the living room and go, oh, there's your other family. But it wasn't a real family.
Very strong selling point is that the home is burglar-proof, too.
Right. Joe Pesci, not even one time.
You couldn't get in.
Daniel Stern almost did once, but Pesci never. Right. Couldn't get in.
Burglar-proof.
Right. And we tried to teach our daughters how to make the face that Macaulay Culkin made where his hands are on his cheeks, that adorable face. They can't do it.
And the doorknobs heat up.
Yeah, like, we had
that. That's a selling point as well.
We had an iron that comes down on a string and hits you in the forehead if you come through an exit or an entrance that you're not supposed to.
They don't make that with a house anymore.
No, you got to buy it separate.
Right.
Got to have a step up. Yep. All right. So here, again, for people just joining us during the bonus hour, these are words or phrases that have gone away because time has made them unnecessary anymore. Calculator. Your kids would never use a calculator. They wouldn't even say calculator.
They kind of do. Like you have one on your phone, right? Wouldn't you call that your calculator on your phone?
I would just say phone. but I know what you mean. If you're doing math on your phone, but would you say calculator?
I think I might. Like if I say you have a calculator on your phone, what is it? You're trying to figure something out?
My daughter for a while took a class where we had to buy her a very expensive calculator, but it was called something else, and I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, they are really expensive now. I remember
this one was $400.
Yeah, right. I know.
$400. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, so I don't know about your school, but in our school, if you were taking a math class and you were caught with a calculator, you paid the price because you didn't know how to do math. You were using a calculator. A generation later,
you have to
go spend $400 to have a calculator.
Right. Right.
How'd that happen? That doesn't seem right. But I can't remember what she called. She referred to it as something else. But I don't remember what it was.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Abacus?
Yeah, it was Abacus.
I still use that. That's trusted.
That's from thousands of years ago. And I think time will prove me right. It's the most accurate way to measure anything. Yeah, the abacus is the best. Didn't Texas Instruments at one point make a LED abacus? I think they did.
Yeah.
I think they did. Supper.
Yeah.
You ever say supper? What is for supper?
I do not say it. No.
But in Wisconsin, it thrives. The supper club
Supper clubs, sure.
Supper club.
No big deal. They're all over the state of Wisconsin.
I still have to pay my dues.
For the supper
club? I'm the only person, still paying their dues for the supper club. Yeah. Yeah.
I joined it like Columbia Record Club, and then I stop paying.
Oh, you can't stop, Mike.
I might not even be allowed in that state
anymore. You got to keep paying your dues for the supper club.
But I did get 8 meals for a penny. So it's very similar.
I always thought it is the same.
Yeah.
With the world famous painting, The Last Supper.
Sure.
I always thought it was funny that they referred to that as supper because unless it was in Wisconsin, it was probably a dinner or a meal.
It wasn't the last dinner. You never hear that. The last dinner.
But they held it at the Hobnob in Kenosha.
That's what they called it.
And it was a supper. VHS. Try saying that to your kids and get a straight face.
Yep. Means nothing.
VHS. I still say I'll tape a show.
Right, right.
If there's a show and I want to see, I'll tape that.
I'll tape it.
But in reality, you're not taping anything.
You're DVRing it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Operator.
Oh, my God.
I'll check with the operator. She'll know the exchange. The operator. See, Sade could not have a hit with Smooth Operator anymore.
Do you think people answer their phones anymore by going, yellow?
I think they
anybody
do.
Still do that?
I think
when they're
they
not
do.
Joking? Like, I do it jokingly. Yellow.
What's the reaction you get?
Nothing.
Were you ever on a party line?
No.
Do you know what they are?
I've heard of it, sure. Where you had to share your phone line with somebody else.
I swear, this was not that long ago. When Terry and I first started dating, her family had property in Wisconsin, way up in northern Wisconsin. And when you went there, there were 8 or 9 homes that were like cabins on a lake. And when the phone rang, the phone would ring in everybody's house.
Could be for anybody.
It could be for anybody. And sometimes she said, I don't know this, because I got very few phone calls when I was up there. You could hear somebody, they would breathing. Still be listening to your listening. Call, even though it wasn't for them.
That's fun.
I guess
they're just having fun up there.
I guess so. Do you remember the ads? So this would have been when you and I were about late teens or early 20s.
Okay.
There were late night ads for fun party lines.
Oh, my God, all the 900 numbers.
Yeah, they were all 900 numbers.
Yeah, and the people that you saw on the commercial most definitely were the ones that you would be talking to.
Oh, yeah, very attractive.
Very well represented.
Yes.
Yes.
All very attractive women.
Yeah.
Wearing shimmery outfits.
And short shorts going, I can't meet people.
Right.
Well, leave your house. Like, I'm going to meet them on the 900 line.
Right. But that was so risque back then, right? Did you know anybody that subscribed and would call the party lines? I knew two different guys who insisted, no, so the people that you're talking to, they're very nice people.
Right. You get to meet them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Changes be friends with them.
No. I never knew anybody.
There was a legend in our school that you could call a number. I can say it here because it's the bonus hour, Mike, and we're unrestricted in what we say and do. You could call this number, Horny 81, and a woman of the evening would come on and talk to you. But then anytime we were ready to do it.
To
yeah, just talk. How'd your day go?
Yeah, make you feel better.
Right. How's life treating you? Right.
Hey, did you ever find that remote, or did you?
Right.
Yeah. She gets to be your friend. You call
yeah, you'd
back.
Be friends with...
Yeah, how'd that quiz go?
Right. I know you had a science quiz.
Yeah, that go
well, okay. Ramona, I'm glad you brought it up.
Horny 81.
Right.
It was the year I graduated high school. Had there been Twitter back then, that would be my handle.
Horny, dial me up at horny 81. Why would I don't know what the 81 referred to.
Yeah. I don't know.
It wasn't the year 1981.
That's how old the person was that you were calling.
Hello.
So tell me about yourself. What do you got on?
What are your thoughts about Gene Krupa? Gene Krupa, who is this?
Do you like doilies?
You're the same woman I saw in the commercial, correct? Oh, absolutely.
Yes, I am.
I'm the same woman. One and the same.
I'm wearing the red satin shorts, sitting on the edge of the hot tub. Want to make some whoopee? If you were here with me now, I swear we'd be making whoopee. I'm so feeling it.
You're amusing me and frightening me at the exact same time.
We would so be doing.
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. But that was, okay, so I know it was a simpler time, but that was considered, that was risque back
right.
then. Ah,
right.
One day, if my parents are out of town, I'm going to call that horny 81 and find out what's what.
Well, we'll find out. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Here's another phrase you hardly ever hear today. Mike, you'll know the origin of this. Now, this is only from TV. They're selling this as something people said, but they didn't. Up your nose with a rubber hose.
It was invented for television.
That was invented for Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah, it was actually in Gabe Kaplan's stand-up act.
Right.
And then he incorporated it into the show.
Because he was actually, prior to being a stand-up, he really was a teacher. That's true.
So that was based on
yeah.
his experience.
Yeah. Did the sweat hogs really exist, or was that just something he...
I think that might be something he made up, but
yeah.
I think he was a part of that group.
Yeah. Didn't he go on to be like a world-class
poker player? And he's a sports gambler. Like, he makes a lot of money betting on sports.
Yeah. Isn't that something? You wouldn't have thought back in the Welcome Back, Cotter day that that's how things would end up for him, that he'd be a world championship poker player. Wasn't Omar Sharif that way with bridge?
Really?
I'm almost positive.
It sounds almost real enough to believe.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, you go, you're Omar Sharif. You don't have to be great at bridge. But I remember for a while in one of the papers, either in the Tribune or the Sun-Times, there was, I know newspapers are different than they used to be, but back in the time when newspapers had a little bit of everything, like 2 or 3 days a week, there was a bridge column that told you how to be a better bridge player. And one day I'm looking at it going, what?
Wow.
Wait,
who's reading this?
Yeah. And then I see the byline on it, and it's Omar Sharif.
Wow. Wow.
That's weird.
Yeah. Do you think Gabe Kaplan ever took the sweat hogs to
Las Vegas?
To bet? and Freddie Boo Boom Washington lost everything.
Yeah.
And they go to collect.
Yeah.
Where's the money? I don't have it here. Handy.
Right. He was very cool back then.
I don't have the money here. Handy.
Handy, yeah. That was the way he spoke.
Yeah.
Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
Right.
Yep.
Please excuse Juan from paying this debt.
I always felt bad for the kids that were in the sweat hogs but never got to
be
a sweat hog.
Yeah, they just got to react to the other
player.
Yeah.
They would laugh a lot.
Right. Look at each other, poke each other, and laugh at something Barbarino said.
Yeah. Because I think that back then, to be a true sweat hog, you had to prove yourself, and those kids never got the chance to prove themselves.
Right.
I always felt bad. I also felt bad that the sweat hogs, like I and you, are, you and I are about the same age, we would be about that age, but really those guys were all 10 or 15 years older than us.
Right, but they were playing high school students.
Yeah.
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 Like Henry Winkler, how old was he when he was five?
Fonzie, 30-something?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But he was playing a high school kid.
So, yeah, or just out, like, what, 19? He's supposed to be 19, probably.
But it's still that way, like, my kids used to watch Glee.
Yeah.
And that was about a high school, but those kids were all in their late 20s.
Right.
Can high school kids play high school kids?
Mm-mm.
That's not fair.
No.
That's not fair.
High school kids are busy playing fourth graders.
Right. That's true.
You got to catch up.
I also liked every once in a while there would be a sweat hog that they would kind of feature. It wasn't one of your four Mount Rushmore sweat hogs.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Barbarino. It wasn't
Epstein or Horseshack or Washington.
Right.
Yeah.
It was Hotsy Totsy.
Yeah. Right? Deborah Lee Scott.
Deborah Lee Scott played Merrily Totsy, I believe.
Merrily Totsy.
Right.
And then there was Verna Jean, who was
Verna Jean Watson.
Verna Watson.
Right.
She's on General Hospital now.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Playing the same character?
Yeah. She plays Boom Boom. They're looking for Boom Boom Washington. They're trying to find Lawrence Hilton Jacobs.
He's got to be in the hospital somewhere.
The whole show.
Then for a while, there was Bo.
Bo Delabar.
Bo Delabar, who was Stephen Shortridge, was that
yes.
his name?
And you know why he was on? Because Travolta left. He left to do Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
So they needed a, yeah.
I think he had already done Saturday Night Fever, but it became such a hit that he wanted to move on and do movies.
Yeah.
Although, I
think it crossed over.
Was there a little crossover?
Yeah. He was that, what was his name, Shortridge?
Stephen Shortridge.
He was like McGinley. Like Ted McGinley
yeah.
was always the guy
kiss
who
to death.
Came into a show.
And then it was over.
It was over. Love yeah. Boat. Remember the last season of The Love Boat?
He was Flash.
He was Ace.
Ace.
Ace. Flat. You say Flash because he was a photographer.
Right.
Yeah.
He was.
And he came into Happy Days when Ronnie Howard left.
Yeah.
He was Roger. The cousin.
And Married with Children.
He took over when Steve left.
Right.
Yeah.
So you knew anytime you saw him,
he
we're on our last leg.
Done. We want to die. Bring in McGinley. We want to be canceled.
I wonder if that works in real life. Like, let's say you're elderly and you've lost your will to live. If they just bring him in.
Yeah.
And then you go, now I know the end is near.
We know how you feel. We've already put in a call to Ted McGinley.
He's like.
He's on his way.
He's the Dr. Jack Kevorkian of show business.
He is. He'll come over and pretend to be one of your sons, and you're going to die.
You're not Mark. Who are you?
Yeah. Well, Roger.
You'll find out.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we will say goodbye. That happens next. Stick around. It's Bill and Mike Toomey in for Wendy on WGN. Well, Mike, that's it.
Man.
That's it.
That went so quickly.
That's the bonus hour.
So fast.
We're
I see why
over.
They call it the bonus hour.
Well, they do because it's 60 minutes long.
Yeah, it's gone.
And it's bonus.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people...
It's like the lightning round dollar values are doubled.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt doubly as filled with angst and pressure to make the bonus hour special for people today. Did you?
I kind of feel like we did that.
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah.
I think we did. We mentioned Richard Dawson as is our way.
All roads.
All roads lead to Richard Dawson.
Whenever you have me in here at some point, I'm going to turn it and spin it into Richard
Dawson. You know, the great Richard Dawson once said something that I think we should remember.
Right.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Like, you had a guest on before me. You know, that guest was talking about, well, Richard Dawson.
Yes.
One time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
He had a rescue dog.
Richard Dawson had a rescue dog. Yeah. All right. That's it for the show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow, we will spin the wheel of guest hosts yet again.
Who's tomorrow?
No one's supposed to know, but I can tell you.
Okay.
Judy Pilak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to like her better than me?
I'm going to like her different than you.
All right.
But, Mike, the surprise for you is that you will come in and do news for us.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Shall I do it like Flip Murther?
I hope you will.
Yeah.
I won't enjoy it any other way.
And then I'll sing thoo-thoo-thoo-dio.
Did he do that at some point?
I think yeah.
He must have.
Thoo-thoo-thoo-dio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. All right, everybody, that's it for us. Hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in again tomorrow. Bye, everybody. Bye, Mike.
See you, Bill.